If you have your Bibles, I will be in the book of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and then I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. But this is the third week that many of you have seen where thousands of Americans have continued to protest the unjust killing of George Floyd. We've seen black, white, Hispanic, and Asian, and all alike recognize that there's injustice in our society and there's a need for people to stand and make a difference. This past week, I've had the privilege to participate in a lot of discussions with fellow pastors and discuss the subject of racial injustice in our country and in our community. And how do we promote justice? And one of the words that we're hearing often is this word justice. Many people, you're hearing the protesters saying, no justice, no peace. And so I've just felt led of the Lord to address this subject and talk about what is biblical justice. Because I believe that we need to understand what is God doing and what is he saying in the midst of it. The Hebrew word for justice is found is the word mishpat, which is occurs in the Old Testament over 200 times. The most basic meaning is to treat people equitably or fairly, regardless of their race or social status. It also means if anyone has been done wrong, that they should be given the same penalty. It's more than penalty or punishment. It's giving people the rights, the rights they are due. It's whether punishment or protection or care. And there's a verse in the Bible, and I'm reading out of Micah 6:8. In the time of Micah, when Micah was called to be a prophet, there was a rampant injustice in the culture. Immigrants and the poor were often overlooked. There was the powerful were taking advantage of the powerless. Those who were vulnerable were often succumbed to injustice. And God raised up a voice. And in Micah 6:8, he spoke to the nation. He said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And that is to do justly. Say, do justly. To love mercy. Say, love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Micah gave us three things, I believe, that are applicable to where we are right now as a nation this day. And so I'll probably skip a week. We're gonna encourage fathers. But I'll pick up in 2 weeks. But I want to talk to you this morning from the subject of how to do justly. Because one of the things we discover in the Bible is that God is a God of justice. The Bible tells us his throne is established in justice. In Psalm 68, verse 4 and 5, it says, he's a father to the fatherless, and he's a defender of the widows. God is passionate about justice. And we see that throughout the Bible. And so I want to look at it this morning because there's a whole lot of people talking about justice that sometimes don't have a clue about what is biblical justice. And sometimes the very people who are protesting in the name of justice are some of the greatest perpetrators of justice. And so I think it behooves us to understand what does the Word of God says about justice and how do we do justice, as Micah said. Jesus gives us a story in the Gospel of Luke that illustrates what it means to be just when there's injustice. And so I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read, and I pray 10, beginning at verse 30. And Jesus, many of you know, he was replying to one of the religious leaders who was asked a question, who then is my neighbor? To get himself off the hook, he was wanting to know, you know, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the religious leaders asked Jesus, then who then is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a story. I'm reading. And a Jewish man was traveling on a trip to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. And they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him and left him half dead beside the road. Verse 31, by chance a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, or your version, the NIV or the King James, a Levite, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. And Jesus asked the question as I close, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? I want to ask you and I the question, because you know, a lot of times when we look at what's happening in our society, it's easy to criticize what others are doing, but I believe that we're all are called to do justly. I believe that justice is something that God has called every one of us, especially, let me just tell you, if anybody ought to be leading the way of modeling what is justice in the body of Christ, how many know it's you and I as believers and followers of Jesus should be leading the way? Can I have an amen? And so I want to share with you 3 things that Jesus teaches us about what it means to do justice. The first thing is justice is choosing not to pass by or to look the other way. Notice what it says, that the priests as well as the Levite, they both saw, but they chose to look the other way. They both chose to pass by. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he wanted to illustrate, he recognized that we can be religious and yet blind to justice. In other words, we can be involved in going to church and yet miss out on what sometimes God is doing. I believe that we are seeing that this is, we can no longer ignore that the gospel has called us to do justice. For years, there's been a debate in our land that, well, you know, we can say, oh, I want you to know the gospel is the gospel of justice. Can I have an amen? And the gospel calls us to defend the cause of the widow, the needy, and the hurting. We've often relegated issues of social justice, if it didn't concern us, we've often sometimes looked the other way. I believe that every person is called to be involved in doing justice. Regardless of where you are, we all have different platforms, we all have different responsibilities, but all of us are called to be in what the Bible calls do justly. Let me just give you an example in Isaiah chapter 58. Turn with me there, Isaiah chapter 58. Because the nation of Israel was startled. Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to look at that in point 2. Forgive me. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. We live in a broken world where there's inequality and unfairness and prejudice. And God knew that people, listen, in a broken world, God knew that people would not always be fair and they would not always be just. So you know what? He gave us principles. He gave us promises in his word where he commanded us to do justly. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 31, 8, 9. He says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. I want you to know justice has a voice. Can I have an amen? Justice is not silent in the event in the When we see evil, when we see things being perpetrated against one another, Martin Luther King said it this way: the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression of the cruelty or by bad people, but the silence of good people. And I want you to know that, let me just tell you, one of the things that is encouraging me over what is happening in our nation is that now we're seeing, I believe I said it, the church is going to be on the right side of history this time. We're not going to be silent in the face of injustice. How many know we're going to begin to speak out? Can I have an amen? And I believe that justice has a voice, and I believe that every person need to use their platform, that whatever it is that God has given them, to speak up and to speak out whenever we witness and whenever we see there's injustice anywhere in our society, because how many know justice has a voice? Can I have an amen? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 27 verses 19, cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien and the fatherless and the widow. We're going to find out all throughout the Bible that God is interested in you and I being involved. We're not to turn the other way. We're not to pass by when we see hurt, when we see people mistreated, when we see justice denied. How many know it is a call to you and I as a church to get involved? Can I have an amen? The second thing that we're going to see, if you and I are going to do justice is choosing to act. Say act. It is choosing to take action and serve the least of these. Listen to what we read in Luke 10:33. The despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. How many of you know it's not just enough to feel compassion? But going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him in an inn and took care of him. I want to say this, and this is so important for you and I especially. Listen, God wants people who will not just talk about justice, who will not just protest in the name of justice, but who will get involved in doing justice. It is not enough to feel sad about injustice, but I mean, you know, justice is an action. And God is calling you and I to act when it comes to any aspect of injustice. I want you to know, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your home, the church should be leading the way when it comes to justice. Can I have an amen? We are called to do justice. And I want you to know, if we're going to do justice, it's going to require an action. Sometimes it means putting ourselves in harm's way. You know, it is said that the religious, the Levite and the priest ask themselves, what will happen to them if they get involved? But the Samaritan said, what will happen to the guy if I don't get involved? And I believe that sometime we got to be willing to take a risk. Not sometime. I want you to know, justice always requires a risk. Can I have an amen? And I want you to know, if you and I are going to begin to be agents of justice in an unjust world, how many know it requires taking a risk? It requires being willing to not just think of our own self. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just think of his own interests. Can I have an amen? How many are glad that he came down where we were, was willing to be touched by our problems, was willing to experience the things we experience in order to be man? Justice is willing to get involved. And amen. And I want you to know, justice is willing to take a stand. Justice is willing to get involved. And as never before, we need people who are willing to say, God, I'm willing to take action. Listen what it says in Isaiah 58. This was a startling thing to the religious people of Isaiah day. They were doing everything right, but they were neglecting justice. Listen, I want to read it, Isaiah chapter 58. Many of you know, begin at verse 5. They had fasted, they had prayed, but they said that God wasn't listening. And here in verse 5, it said, God says, is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? It is only for bowing the head like a reed or lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords and the yoke and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? It is not to provide for the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Let me just tell you, I like verse 8 because he gives us a promise. I believe that one of the things we're praying this morning, we're believing God for signs and wonders. We believe in God for healing. Could it be that God is waiting for you and I to begin to act justice before healing begin to spring forth? Listen what it says in Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 8. He goes on to say, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your guard." I believe there's a direct correlation to you and I doing right, to church to do justice come in our life. Could it be that God is waiting on us? God is waiting on the church to do justice to bring an end to this pandemic. Could it be that God is waiting on you and I to say, "God, we're going to not just talk about justice, but we're going to do justice so that our healing can spring forth, that health can spring forth." How many know God is still the same? He's still able to heal. He's still able to deliver. And I believe that one of the keys here we see in Isaiah 58, God says, if you will, listen to what he says. He said, if you will set the oppressed free, if it's not to share your food with the hungry and provide poor wanderers shelter. I believe that one of the things that God did during this pandemic, God closed the doors of the church so they can get us out of the building so they can get us into the world. I don't hear too many people in. Maybe we came back too soon. I'm going to say that again. I believe that one of the reasons that God allowed this pandemic is to get the church out of the building into the world. Can I have an amen? Because I believe that when you and I have the greatest message. Let me just say, we've been called to demonstrate justice. And I believe that when you and I begin to be what God calls us to be, he says, then your light shall spring forth. Then healing shall come. I believe that God wants to heal, but I believe that God is waiting on us. Can I have an amen? And he says, then your light shall break forth, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. I believe in this broken world we're living in, God is waiting on you and I. And I believe that, listen, I thank God for every peaceful protest, but I mean, protest is not enough. And I believe that God is calling for change. Can I have an amen? How many are ready for a change? Come on. How many are ready? I believe that God wants to bring change to our society and change to our world. But how many know we cannot expect a lost world to lead the way of justice? They don't have a clue of what justice. Somebody say amen. How many know God is looking on, waiting on us? Sometimes we're waiting on the world, but God is waiting on us. Some of you are so crippled by fear, God can't use you. Oh, it got quiet real quick. I've learned that the safest place is right in the center of the will of God. Can I have an amen? And I've learned that, listen, when people are hungry, if you'll feed them, God knows how to protect you. Can I have an amen? That's why throughout this pandemic, we're saying, God, whatever door you channel, God, we want to be a blessing, because I believe that when people are hurting, they're looking for somebody who's willing to take a risk and minister healing. Can I have an amen? How many know? Listen, I believe that if you're in the center of the will of God, I can trust God that he'll take care of me. Can I have an amen? I'm talking about being in the will of God and injustice. Can I have an amen? To the body of Christ, to lead the way. Injustice. Can I have any? To do justice, to defend the needy, to feed the hungry. Let me just tell you, this thing is not just going to be over once this thing comes. That we, our economy, our world economy is in trouble. There are going to be more people who are hurting. There are going to be more people out of work. There are going to be more desperate people. And how many know God is going to look for people who are going to declare that, God, we're going to be the hand of justice. We're going to take care of the needy. We're going to stretch our hands out to the hungry. We're going to feed those. Some of us might be willing to open our homes. Can I have an amen? Because part of what he said in Isaiah 58, is it not to give shelter? We don't like that part of the Bible. It got real quiet in here. I got some empty rooms. Anybody need some shelter? I just got in trouble with my wife. That's all right. The reality is here, being just, we live in our community. We need to stop long enough and ask ourselves, justice is not, when it comes to the Bible's justice, God is concerned about those who are marginalized. God's concerned about those who are hurting. And I'm just telling you, I believe that all of this was happening is a divine setup. God is setting up the church to be his instrument, to be his hand, to be his feet. Come on, I believe that God is putting us in a place. I've told you, I believe that even God getting us debt free is just a setup. Look at somebody say, it's just a setup. Listen to me, just like he did for Joseph, I'm telling you, I believe that God putting us in a place that just like Joseph was used of the Lord, that he recognized that it was the Lord who sent him ahead, and that when there was famine and nobody had food, how many know because Joseph had the wisdom of God, Joseph was able to help people when everybody was hurt. How many believe that God wants us to be the Joseph generation? I believe that that's what God is calling us to do. But how many know it's going to require a risk? It's going to require us getting involved. Let me just tell you, nothing would have happened if somebody didn't take a risk. It takes a risk to get involved. You know, when they called us and said, listen, there's a pandemic, and we recognize that a lot of people don't have food, and a lot of school, because the schools are closed, 80% of the kids in our community are on free lunch program, and a lot of them don't have meals, and we were looking for somebody who's willing to take a risk. I know there's a pandemic, but would you be willing to give food to your community? And how many of you know, isn't it sad that they were having difficulty to find people willing to give food? I'm a step on some of your toes. Isn't it amazing that people got faith to go in Walmart to buy food for themselves, but they don't have faith to? Woo! Or I just got hit by a rock. That's a reality. I'm gonna say it again. The safest place is in the will of God. And I believe when people are hurting, if you'll say, God, if you can use anything, use me. I believe that God is grace is sufficient. When did God stop being a protector? When did God stop being a healer? When did God stop being a deliverer? Come on, somebody give God. I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to acknowledge, let me just tell you, I realize the pandemic is real, but we have to acknowledge that most of our world, even the church, has been gripped by fear, an irrational fear. I believe in taking caution. We sanitize these places. We practice social distance for those that's watching. We're wearing masks. Can I have an amen? But I believe that we must come to a place, because this is not church. This is, you just came to hear the word. Church is when we go out there. Can I have an amen? Church is when we're called to do justice. And I'm just telling you, it's going to require a risk. There are going to be people in your neighborhood. There are going to be people in your community. That might be people in your very family that God's going to call you and I to say, listen, we're going to have to demonstrate the justice of God. Justice is making sure that we care for the widow, care for the fatherless, care for the needy, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. I want you to know, justice extends more than racial equality. That's part of justice. But how many know God is looking at us to extend the full gamut of justice? He's calling us to be a people who will demonstrate justice in a hurting world. How many are ready to sign up? How many are ready to say, God, I want to do justice? I don't want to just talk about justice. I want to do justice. Listen to what Martin Luther King said. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who perpetrates it. I believe that when it's in our power to do good and we don't do nothing, we're just as guilty as the world. He goes on to say, he who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. I'm just telling you, I believe that God is calling us in this hour to demonstrate justice. Can I have an amen? And lastly, listen to the last point that closed. I might have made somebody angry, but the truth will always set you free. Thank you, Jesus. Justice is not an event, but it's a process. Come on, look at somebody, this is a process. Now, we like events. We like events and we like things to say, oh, look what we've done. But I want you to know, justice is a process. Justice is the equity in hearing and working to ensure that there's fairness and equity in in serving and helping the least of these. Jesus said it this way. Let me just tell you. Jesus went on to say that you and I are going to eventually be judged whether or not we've been just. You realize that? He says at the end, he's not going to want to hear talk. He's going to say, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I was a stranger, did you take me in? Come on. When I was sick, did you visit me? When I was in prison, did you come to me? He didn't say whether they were guilty or innocent. He was looking to see, was there somebody in the earth that was going to represent God? Because God is always on the side of caring for those that's most vulnerable. God is always on the side of the vulnerable. Can I have an amen? And if we're going to be on the side of God and show justice, we're going to have to learn that justice is an action. And lastly, as I close, I said justice is not just a process. Is an event. Any of you saw the movie Just Mercy? I mean, but just a few. I want to encourage you. It's a secular movie, but it's right now you can watch it for free throughout the month of June. It's called Just Mercy, and it's about a lawyer, a young man who went to Harvard Law School, but heard about how justice was being denied in the state of Alabama to people who were incarcerated and in prison, and how he came down from Alabama and started came down from New York and started a ministry called, I think, the Justice Project, whatever. And he began to fight for people who no one was willing to fight for. It's a true story. And how he was willing, listen, this is why I said justice is not an event, it's a process. And he was willing not just to fight for one day, not for one month, but for years. There was a gentleman that he began taking up his case in the late 1980s, 1990. And as a result of him fighting for justice, he was set free in 2015. Totally innocent, vindicated. But he was willing to do justice, because justice is not an event, it's a process. Let me just say it this way. Most of us work 40 to 50 hours a week. We have families that need our attention. We have homes to maintain. And we say, where do we find the time to fight for justice? Hear what I'm going to say. Everybody in this room been given a platform. Your platform may not be my platform, but everybody has a platform. Everybody in this room has an influence. Your influence may not be my influence, but everybody in this room has an influence. Everybody has a platform. We must commit to using the influence and the platform that God has given us to work for and to fight for justice. From caring for the elderly parent, to looking after an elderly neighbor, to being actively involved in our community. Jesus said to his followers, listen, he said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let me just tell you, this Good Samaritan, he realized that, listen, it wasn't a one-day thing. I like to say, but the next day, he handed the innkeeper. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while to see justice happen. Sometimes it takes more than a while. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. But God has called you and I to be involved in justice. The Bible says in Philippians 2, listen to what it says. Do not look only on your own interests, but take interest in others too. I believe if there was ever a word for the church, because that's what so many of your problems, you're only concerned if it touches you. I've heard some people, the only time you want to talk about is if it's your children. If it's your family, if it doesn't affect you, you don't want to be involved. But I want you to know, listen what the Bible says about when it comes to justice. Philippians 2:14, do not look only on your own interests, but take interest in others too. The Bible goes on to say, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to know, Jesus didn't have to come down and inconvenience himself, but he saw injustice, he saw a world broken, and he left the lofty place of heaven, and he came down where you and I are to intervene in our world. ultimately to die on a cross so that you and I might be free. Anybody glad that he fought for our freedom? And I believe that, listen to me, I believe that as never before, God is calling the church afresh to be willing to model the life of Christ. I believe, I'm just telling y'all, I've earned some credibility with those of you that have been around for a while. I've told y'all that we're going to come at a time where God was going to call us as a church to be a Joseph generation. Many of you heard me say that many times. I told you that God was going to position us to be a hand to help and to serve and to help people who are hurting. I'm just letting you know that the worst of the pandemic hadn't come yet. That's why we, listen to me, and I'm just telling you, our country is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. The greatest tragedy, the greatest harm is yet to come. It's not, is the fallout of what's going to happen. But I want you to know, is it going to be an opportunity for the church? You heard me say that crisis is only God's opportunity to reveal that Christ is the answer. And I believe that if we're going to be part of the answer and part of the solution, it's going to require you and I to say, God, I'm committed to doing justly. Anybody beside me say, God, I'm going to do justly. It's a process. And it's going to involve not looking just on your own interests, but taking interest in others too. As I close, I want to just say that God is calling all of us. This has been the hardest year, but I want you to know it's been a great year. Can y'all understand that? It's been a hard year, but it's been a great year. I've learned that sometimes God does his greatest work in the most harshest and the greatest times of adversity. It's been a difficult year, but I'm telling you, God is at work. I want you to know he's moving. I want you to know that God is confirming his word. I'm telling you, listen, we're going to see miracles. Judith, you prayed it early in prayer. Come on, healing, miracles. God said, listen, as you and I, if we do our part, God's going to cause healing to stretch forth. God's going to cause light to break out in darkness. How many want to be a part of what God's going to do? And so I want to close in a word of prayer. Listen to me. I'm telling you, as difficult and as challenging as things been, there's a sense of an excitement. I don't know about you, but I like to see the move of God. I believe there's a move of God at work. I'm telling you, listen to me. God is bringing people together that couldn't get together before. Can I have an amen? Oh, I'm telling you, God is at work. I'm telling you, he's working even when you can't see it, he's working. And you got to determine, are you going to be a part of what God is doing or are you going to sit on the sideline? You got to make up on your mind, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And if you're going to be a part of what God's doing, you got to make a commitment. I'm going to do justice. Can I have an amen? If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to make a commitment. I'm going to do justice. Then I want you to stand on your feet right where you are. If that's what you say, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I believe that if we will